Thank you, Lord. And welcome, friends and guests, and everyone who's listening online. I see this section has just, I'm not real sure why it's empty. I know Carol and Jim are gone, but seems like people have moved away since the camera's gone up. And so no one's really in that section. So one of these days, well, we're doing something else when it comes to the recording. Amen? 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 Yes, we have faith for that. Amen. We've talked about it many times. But as we grow in these areas, we need more volunteers to run these areas. Amen. And so we got to wait till all the players are on the field. When all the players are on the field, we're ready to go. Hallelujah. So welcome once again to River of Life. We're so glad you're here. I'm so thankful to be here. Thankful once again to be alive. Did you thank God this week for your life? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for our lives, that you are our breath. You're the very air that we breathe. And welcome, friends and guests. This is River of Life family. We have people in, people out, but we are glad for who's here. Look around and smile at each other. This is your family. And this is who God gathered today. And so we're excited about what God wants to do today. Right here with this group of people, amen? Because God is on the move. He's on the move. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. No matter how it looks, we have to remember Jesus is with us. And he's the mighty warrior. And he's already defeated the enemy. So regardless of what's going on, we know the enemy is already defeated. We just got to walk through that storm. And sometimes that's not fun. Tell your neighbor it's not fun. But oh my, when you get on the other side and you look at what God has done for you. He's so amazing. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Doesn't matter what it looks like. We're willing to stand with you in prayer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, Father, bless this word as we teach today. Thank you, Lord, for the priestly ministry of Jesus. And thank you, Lord, that you called us to be kings and priests. We are a kingdom of priests. Hallelujah. A holy nation. A special treasure to you. And we thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. So last week we learned that to be in covenant with God, it requires to hear his voice, and also to keep his covenant. That's the primary conditions for a relationship with God, is to be in covenant and to hear his voice. And every Christ follower is a priest. We learned that last week. The scripture says in 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. How many's been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light? Everybody here this morning, you've experienced that translation? Hallelujah. We're a royal priesthood. Thank you, Lord. And Revelation 1, 5, and 6, we went over last week, and the scripture says, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. And the church said, amen. Amen. So this morning, we're going to take a look at the priestly ministry of Jesus. And the only book in the New Testament that uniquely teaches on the priestly ministry of Jesus is the book of Hebrew. And has anyone here studied through the book of Hebrews? It's an intense study. One of my favorite authors is Kevin Connor. Do you have any of Kevin Connor's materials? excellent theologian. We have several things by Kevin Connor. He actually passed away a few years ago, but such a man of God, theologian. And this whole book, this whole thing is on Hebrews. Hebrews is a very, very deep book. It's the Leviticus of the New Testament. And throughout the years, Bible scholars and historians have suggested different potential authors for the book of Hebrews, including Barnabas, Apollos, Priscilla, Clement, and Timothy. And whether by close connection with Paul or possibly their own knowledge of the Jewish traditions and the Greek language, many of these suggestions are at least possible, though some are more likely than others. But Origen, the most important theologian and biblical scholar of the early Greek church, said regarding the author of Hebrews that in truth, only God knows. And so we're not sure who wrote Hebrews, but we know it was written by the Holy Spirit, right? So the purpose of the epistle, especially written to Hebrew believers, was to help them overcome the temptation to relapse again into Judaism with all of its ceremonies and sacrifices. That was the old covenant, and Jesus ushered in the new covenant. So not all of us have a background in Judaism, but the author of Hebrews still has a message for us that Jesus is superior to anything we might leave behind us as believers. Can someone say amen? Jesus is superior. He is our sacrifice. He's our high priest and mediator, and he's worthy of every bit of our confidence. So quoting from Psalm 40, 6 through 8, which is actually Hebrews 10, 5 through 7, it says, therefore, when he, meaning Jesus, came into the world, he said, and this is from the Old Testament, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you've prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Verse 7, then I said, behold, I have come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do your will, O God. And this is concerning the Son of God, Jesus Christ. He has come in the volume of the book. It was prophesied, it was preordained, and it was written that he would do the will of God. It's one of my favorite scriptures. Behold, I come in the volume of the book. Have you looked for Jesus in the volume of the book? The eternal Son of God. So Jesus is made a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And this is in Hebrews 7, 14 through 16. For it is evident that our Lord arose from Judah, of which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident if, in the likeness of Melchizedek, there arises another priest who has come, not according to the law of a fleshly commandment, but according to the power of an endless life. For he testifies, you are a priest forever, according to Melchizedek. And we're going to go on to Psalm 110:4. I'm reading a lot of scriptures today because the scripture speaks for itself. I encourage you to go home and reread these scriptures. Psalm 110:4. The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Now, the first use of the word priest is in Genesis 14, 18. And Gabe was talking this morning about our father Abraham. So the original priesthood in the Bible is the priesthood of Melchizedek. This is a Hebrew name that means King of Righteousness. Jesus is not only a priest, but he is a king. And in the priesthood of Melchizedek, the two were combined. Now, when the law was given under Moses, it was separated. God separated kings and priests. And the priesthood went to the Levites, and kingship went to Judah. And kings could not offer sacrifices. And how many remember Saul lost his kingdom because he got impatient waiting for the priest to offer the sacrifices? Kings could not offer sacrifices. When God sets forth a pattern, he means what he says. And then in Hosea did the same thing, and he was smitten with leprosy because as king, he offered a sacrifice. So the first mention of priest in the Bible, and just follow with me, let the Holy Spirit talk to you, was when Abraham met Melchizedek. Genesis 14, 18 to 20 says, "Then Melchizedek, king of Salem," which means king of peace, "brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, 'Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand.' And Abraham gave him a tithe of all." So we see in this passage that Father Abraham was giving a tithe of the spoils of war that he had just defeated. And this is before the law, because tithing has been established by God before the law. People will say, "Well, I don't have to tithe, it's under the law." No, tithing was before the law. And Melchizedek, the king of peace, appeared to him and brought him bread and wine. And Abraham knew he was to give the tithe by the Spirit of God. So a distinctive mark of the Melchizedek is to offer bread and wine. Jesus gave bread and wine to his disciples. In Matthew 26, 26 and 28, it says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins.'" So in other words, Jesus Christ was saying, the priesthood of Melchizedek is being restored in me today. Jesus is high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And once again, the order of Melchizedek combines kingship and priesthood. And Jesus was saying to his disciples, he was making it clear to the people of that time, this is a new covenant that's coming in, and the Levitical priesthood and all of its ceremonies is being set aside. They would have known exactly what Jesus was talking about because they knew the scripture. They had the Torah. They knew the law. Hebrews 5:1 says, "For every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. Remember last week we talked about priests offer sacrifices. 5:6 says, so also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but he was he who said to him, you are my son, today I have begotten you. As he also says in another place, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Verses 7 and 8. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, was heard because of his godly fear, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. So we see Jesus offering up his sacrifice of prayer. Let's go to 9:10. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him, called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. You see, the things of God cannot be understood by our intellect. The things of God are understood by our spirit. And if we're in the reasoning and intellectual place, we're not going to understand what God is saying when he's talking about the royal priesthood and about the priesthood of Melchizedek and Jesus Christ and his calling to this holy anointing as the eternal Son of God. So Jesus, being a priest, had to offer his sacrifice, and his sacrifice was prayer, right? And beside that sacrifice, we know that he offered himself. So what we're looking at now is a pattern for priesthood. Jesus offered his sacrifice of prayer, and he offered himself. Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God? Through the eternal Spirit. Eternal means out of time. Calvary was an eternal transaction that took place. Jesus was both priest and the sacrifice. He offered himself. Our eternal hope through death and resurrection of Jesus is that we have the recording of Jesus Christ as our high priest. This is our eternal hope, that Jesus Christ made this eternal transaction. There's a whole list in here of Jesus did away with the natural to bring in the spiritual. Through the book of Hebrews, there's probably 25 different things that took place that brought from the eternal into from the natural into the eternal realm. It's an amazing book. We should probably do it like on a Wednesday night sometime, just go through this. It would probably take us a year to really grasp it and get through it to understand the revelation that God is sharing with his people. But it is a powerful revelation that Jesus Christ is after the order of Melchizedek, which means you and I as priests are also in the order of Melchizedek. It's the original priesthood that God had planned. And Jesus came and reinstated it. Jesus is our pattern. Hebrews 6:19-20 says, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus having become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. So he entered behind the second veil. He entered behind the Holy of Holies. And he was a forerunner, which means he prepared the way for us to follow. That when you're a forerunner, that means that there are others that are going to come after you. Is that right? And he represented us, and he opened up the way for us to come behind the veil to the throne of God. He made that way for us in this eternal transaction. Let's go on. Hebrews 7, 1 to 2. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham, remember we read about this in Genesis, now we're reading about it in Hebrew, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being translated king of righteousness and then also king of Salem, meaning king of peace. So when you think about this church, receiving the bread and the wine, receiving communion, and giving of our tithes goes back over 4,000 years. People talk about longevity of their denomination. What denomination goes back 4,000 years? Actually, this is eternal, because even before time, the scripture says the Lamb of God was slain before the foundation of the world. In God's eternal plan, this was God's eternal plan. Salem, which means peace, corresponds with the word Jerusalem, which also means city of peace. So an exchange was made. Melchizedek gave bread and wine, and Abraham gave tithes. So you see this tradition, what Gabe talks about every Sunday morning? It goes back to the very beginning. It's not something new. It's something that God instated at the very beginning. Verse 3 says this, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning or days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually. And you see, this was the requirement of the priesthood. The high priest of Melchizedek was that he was without father, he was without mother, he was without genealogy. In the Old Testament, how many have gotten stuck on the genealogies, and you know, you read through all these genealogies, and it was very specific, and they kept record, because based on your genealogy was your inheritance, and based on your genealogy was where you served and you functioned within Israel. And so it was very, very important for this genealogy. It was a patriarchal society, and everybody knew who their father was and where they came from. So Jesus was without father, without mother, without genealogy. And many times Jesus appeared in the Old Testament and in various manifestations. And they're called theophanies, which means God appearance. So Melchizedek is Jesus Christ in theophany, in his pre-incarnate days. It is God the Son appearing in the form of man to man. Jesus Christ appearing to Abraham long before he was born in the flesh. It typified and prophesied of the time when he would become a man by the incarnation. He left his heavenly home and he came to earth and put on the form of flesh to fulfill God's eternal purpose for you and I. So when as a man he would minister the bread and the cup, even his body and blood to his disciples in his ministry, establishing the Lord's Supper. Communion, which we receive and are going to receive today. So on the divine side, he had none of the things that I listed in verse 3. But on the human side, he did. And Paul doesn't mention these things because he's bringing out the excellency of the person or the eternal person in regard to eternity of the eternal Son of God, the part of the eternal Godhead. Jesus preexisted before he came to earth. Jesus, the Son of God, was Melchizedek in a theophany manifestation to Abraham. Now, I get excited when I think about that. Because Jesus said, "Lo, I come in the volume of the book to do your will, O God." And he was establishing the order that God has for his church, for his people, for those that are called out, those that are set aside, that's you and I. We receive communion and we receive the blessing of the Lord when we come to church and we give of our tithes and offerings. From this book, Kevin Connor, he says, "Thus Jesus Christ, the eternal, the uncreated Son of God in the days of eternity, in precarnate days, was one without father. He did not owe his existence or being to human instrumentality or generation. Two, he was without mother, nothing to do with and not a part of human nature as human offspring is. Three, he was without descent, none before him. There was no pedigree or genealogy, not of earth, because he always existed. For he was without beginning of days, not born, not of human will, not created. His eternal, an eternal being in John 1:1-3. Without end of days, no recorded death, never dies or ceases to live, no age, immortal, eternal power of an endless life. This is absolute eternity of being. He always was, he always existed, but he appeared to Abraham as Melchizedek." Whew. Hebrews 7:25 says, "Therefore, he is able to save to the uttermost," which means completely, "those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." He lives as our high priest in heaven, and he's continually making intercession for us. He offers up prayer for us. He offered his own body as the final sacrifice for sin, and now he lives in heaven, and he's continually praying and making intercession for us. And this is the perfect pattern of the priestly ministry, the pattern of our high priest. He offered himself and he lives to pray. He lives to make intercession. And you see, we're to follow in the pattern of Jesus. And when we learn about this priestly ministry, then we learn how to function as priests. We're his representatives here on the earth. That's what we established last week. We are priests. Therefore, we are his representatives. People look to us. They're looking to you. They're watching you. They're reading you. Huge responsibility. But as we learn to be a priest, because the priest is first, then we can rule as a king. And so we're learning to be priests so that through prayer we can rule in our lives. Because that is what makes the difference, is prayer. If you have a prayerless life, not much is probably happening in your life. When you have a prayerless or a prayerful life, lots of things happen and lots of things come against you. Have we noticed that? Amen. We're going to go on and take a look at our corresponding ministry. And that's in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. And the scripture says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. This is the first step of the priesthood. It's presenting your body as a living sacrifice. That's our first requirement. Lord, I want to present my body to you. So I put my body on the altar of your service. And we're to do it just as totally as they did the animal sacrifices. But we live. The animal sacrifices were killed. But you see, Jesus wants us to be a living sacrifice. And just like Jesus offered himself, he gave his body, we offer ours. We give our body to Christ. So that's the first requirement. When you offer yourself to the Lord, then God acknowledges you as a priest. Because you can't make up your own pattern. And this is what I find so many Christians doing. They decide how they're going to do something. And they think it's going to work. But it doesn't work. Because it's not God's pattern. This is God's pattern. Present your body. Every day, present your body. I'm a living sacrifice. My body belongs to you. And don't fuss and worry so much about what you're going to put on it. You know, the Lord talks about that. Don't worry about that. I take care of all the flowers in the field. I put all the leaves on the trees. Don't worry so much about what you're going to put on, about your clothes. I can clothe you. And God does clothe us with spiritual clothing. When we present ourselves to Him, He clothes us. He takes care of us. I'd much rather have God taking care of my body than me trying to do it myself. Because we know all kinds of things can go wrong in our body. But when you know God and you know your body belongs to Him, then you know He's going to take care of it. I wasn't stressed. I wasn't anxious. I wasn't worried when I went to the hospital because I knew God had it all in control. Because that's who He is. That's who He is. He had the plan. I belong to Him. I've been bought with a price. I am not my own, the scripture says. Woo! Now we all want the next verse. Verse 2. But you got to do verse 1 first. Because God has an order. Verse 2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When we present our bodies as a living sacrifice, we're making a commitment to God. And you know, when you're committed to God, you're not going to conform to the world. You're just not going to. Conformity is to fashion alike, conform to the same pattern. When you have consciously said in the morning or whenever you do your prayer, Lord, I commit my body to you today. You're not going to follow the pattern of the world. You don't even want it. It kind of makes you sick to your stomach. And it says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformation is a metamorphosis. It's a change. It's a change. There's a change in your thinking when you have committed your body to the Lord. Change in your thinking. He renews your mind. We all need mind renewal. Amen? You got to pray sometimes and just cleanse. Ask the Lord to cleanse your mind. We are bombarded by messages all the time. And just ask the Lord to cleanse your mind and destroy those weed seeds that have been planted in it. Bishop calls them weed seeds. Our mind is our understanding. It's our intellect, our thoughts, our feelings, our will. So God has a pattern and he has an order. And Jesus Christ is our high priest. He offered his body and now he lives to make intercession for us. And we're going to take a look at what the spiritual sacrifices are that we offer. As a priest, we should know what our sacrifices are, right? Hebrews 13, 15 through 16 says, therefore by him, which is Jesus, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. So by Jesus we continually offer. And here's the list, spiritual sacrifices, because these spiritual sacrifices please God, and that's praise and thanks and doing good and sharing. The praise comes pretty easy, so does the thanks. And we want to do good, but sometimes doing good goes against what we would really rather do. Comes against the plans we already made. Is that right? Doing good is a sacrifice. And sharing, that goes against our human nature. Anyone that raises children knows children do not like to share. Their first word is, mine. And they grab it back away. Is that right? And even as we become adults, we can be stingy and selfish. But we're to share. Share the love. Share a kind word. It'll go a long way. And in life, you'll find that God blesses you most when it costs you something. When it goes against what you really want to do. So first we give him our body, and then we offer sacrifices. And I added the fifth one in there, which is intercession and prayer, because that is what our high priest does. If he's ever lives to make intercession, then so should we. Pray without ceasing. We're to make prayers and supplications for all the saints, the scripture says. We should be praying for one another. Let's go on to 1 Peter 2, 4 through 5. You've heard me say the scripture many times. I believe it has another dimension to it now after we've studied these things. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house. You see, when we come together, we're living stones. And there's a spiritual house that has been built here today. We build that together. That's why it's important to be together, to build the spiritual house. Because we are a holy priesthood. We are priests after the order of Melchizedek, because Jesus Christ is our high priest. To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We are a holy priesthood offering up spiritual sacrifices every time we gather together. And we prepare that habitation for the Spirit of the living God to dwell, and the revelation and the understanding of who He is to be released deeper into our spirits. For those of you that have cried out, I want to know you, God. He's deepening your understanding. Deepening it. I believe 2023 is a time to go deeper in the things of God. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He is in his rightful place as God the Son. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. And because he wanted to fulfill his Father's will, he did endure the cross. And he saw ahead, and he had joy, knowing that many sons and daughters would be birthed and born into the kingdom of God because of his sacrifice. Whew. Thank you, Lord. And he has sat down in his seat, and he has turned the work over to his church, his ecclesia here in the earth. Jesus is in the heavenlies, and he's praying for us to accomplish his will. Do you know his perfect will? Lord, we want to know your perfect will. I have one more scripture, and then we're going to get ready to receive communion. The scripture says, so then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Aren't we so thankful that we have a high priest who understands our weaknesses? He understands when we do things we shouldn't do and we lose our godly attitude. He knows the weaknesses when you've been pushed as far as you feel like you can be pushed. He knows. Because he faced all the same testings. He's been through it all. Yet thank you, Lord, that you did not sin. Because had he sinned, he would not have been the perfect sacrifice to take away the sins of the world. So we thank you, Lord, that you stood strong. You stood strong for us so that we could receive salvation and to be born again into the kingdom of God. Woo. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God is so good to us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.